Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mukham Karoti Vasanam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinataranam. This morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 7, chapter number 12, entitled The Perfect Society, Four Spiritual Classes, text number 10. Correct? Okay. Kalpayitva Atmanam Yavad Abhasam Idam Isvaraham Dvaitam Tavan Na Viramit Tato Hi Asya Viparyayaha. Kalpayit vat manayavad abhasam idam ishvaraha dvaitam tavan nabiramit tato yasya viparyayaha. Kalpayit vat manayavad abhasam idamishvaraha dvaitam tavan nabhiramit tato hyasya viparyayaha. Kalpayit vat manayavad abhasam idam ishvaraha dvaitam tavan naviramit tato hyasya viparyayaha. Kalpayit vat manayavad
Thank you. Ladies.
Kalpayitva, ascertaining positively, atmana, by self-realization, yavat, as long as, abhasam, reflection of the original body, and senses. Idam, this, the body and senses. Ishvaraha, completely independent of illusion. Dvaitam, duality. Tavat, for that long. Na, does not. Viramet, see, tataha, by such duality, he, indeed, asya, of the person, viparyayaha, counteraction, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As long as a living entity is not completely self-realized, as long as he is not independent of the misconception of identifying with his body, which is nothing but a reflection of the original body and senses, he cannot be relieved of the conception of duality, which is epitomized by the duality between man and woman. Thus, there is every chance that he will fall down because his intelligence is bewildered. Kindly repeat after me, as long as a living entity is not completely self-realized, as long as he is not independent of the misconception of identifying with his body, which is nothing but a reflection of the original body and senses, he cannot be relieved of the conception of duality, which is epitomized by the duality between man and woman. Thus, there is every chance that he will fall down because his intelligence is bewildered. Purport. Here is another important warning that a man must save himself from attraction to woman. Until one is self-realized, fully independent of the illusory conception of the material body, the duality of man and woman must undoubtedly continue. But when one is actually self-realized, this distinction ceases. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavihastini Shunichaiva Swapakecha Pandita Samadarshinaha. Translation from Bhagavad Gita 5:18. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater, outcast. On the spiritual platform, the learned person not only gives up the duality of man and woman, but also gives up the duality of man and animal. This is the test of self-realization. One must realize perfectly that the living being is spirit soul, but is tasting various types of material bodies. One may theoretically understand this, but when one has practical realization, then he actually becomes a pundit, one who knows. Until that time, the duality continues, and the conception of man and woman also continues. In this stage, one should be extremely careful about mixing with women. No one should think himself perfect and forget the Shastric instructions that one should be very careful about associating even with his daughter, mother, or sister, not to speak of other women. Srila Madhvacharya cites the following shlokas in this regard. Bahut vinaiva vastunam yathartha jnanam uchyate advaita jnanam ityetad dvaita jnanam tadanyatha yatha jnanam tatha vastu yatha vastus tatha matihi naiva jnanarthayor bhedas tatha ekatva vedanam. Unity in variety is real knowledge. And therefore, giving up variety artificially does not reflect perfect knowledge of monism. According to the Achintya Bheda philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are varieties, but all of them constitute one unit. Such knowledge is knowledge of perfect oneness. I was happy to learn that the verse this morning was from the 7th canto, 12th chapter of the Bhagavatam. This whole section means from the 11th chapter to the 15th chapter. Narada Muni is, on the request of Yudhisthira Maharaj, giving an overall presentation, and he goes into some more details as well regarding actually the Varnashram system. Yudhisthira Maharaj, who is such an elevated personality, who is the emperor of the world, ideal Vaishnav, when another great personality, Srila Narada Muni, happened to visit him, he humbly expressed himself in the following way: "I am but a fallen householder. And you are such a great pandit, great sage. Kindly talk to me about the duties and responsibility of someone like me, who is caught up in the world of Maya." This verse here is actually the continuing of in the beginning of this chapter, a lot of important instructions being given to brahmachari life, the importance actually for both young boys and young girls to practice celibacy, to be, Prabhupada explains actually how Vedic culture is based on intentional segregation. Intentional segregation means separation, planned separation of boys and girls, or men and women, as we can see in the verse here. And I think either the previous verse or the next verse is giving that example of the butter and the fire, isn't it? How when men and women come together, if they are not self-realized, there will be a natural attraction. So the whole Vedic culture, which is based on this principle that the primary goal and aim of life is self-realization, is therefore arranged in such a way that our material situation will favor to the maximum this self-realization, you see. And therefore it is of utmost importance that we understand as deeply or as profoundly as we can the principles of Dharma. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam is actually giving us and emphasizing, you know, the importance of understanding Dharma. We get a glimpse of this, especially I would say in these chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the previous chapter, there is a most important verse. There are so many important verses. Which one to choose? But I wanted to speak a little bit because it's that is what we need to do actually as devotees, how to connect everything together, how to make a complete unit with, of course, keeping, you know, the aspect of variety but keeping the proper center, means Krishna. So the point I want to explain is the following. Our Vedic culture recognizes, understands that we, especially us here in the material world, we exist on two levels, isn't it? We have two levels of reality. The spiritual level, which is Atma, the soul, and then the material level, the body, this material body. And it is a duality automatically, isn't it? Matter and spirit, man and woman. We're living in a world of duality. And that duality is a cause of all kinds of conflict. When there is absence of the endeavor for self-realization, not only the endeavor, but actual perfection, actual attainment of self-realization. Means until, this is one of the messages being given here, until we attain self-realization, we must be extremely cautious, you see. And sometimes we think that, you know, our Vedic culture is too cautious by having various rules and regulations, but actually it is not. So there are two, I would say, very important verses. One is in the first canto of the Bhagavatam. The other one is in this seventh canto of the Bhagavatam. And both, as I will recite them, you will understand, are intimately connected. They speak about dharma. Dharma in its dual significance. And I would say it is of utmost importance for each and every devotee who is part of this movement and who is endeavoring to attain self-realization, to understand these two levels of dharma. Both are referred to as swadharma, actually. And they are, one level of swadharma is in this first verse, which is very well known by all the devotees. The second verse is less known. And I want to spend a little bit of time on the second verse. So the verse, first verse is in the first canto, as I mentioned. Savai pumsam paro dharmo jato bhaktir adhokshaji ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. Isn't it? The supreme occupation or perfection for all living entities is to actually engage in the devotional service of the Lord. And such devotional service must be unmotivated and, that's a hard one also, uninterrupted. Means continuous, 24 hours a day. And if we can do that, then yena chatma prasidati, all in relation with the Atma, which in this verse, in this case, is translated as the body, the mind, our social condition, and also the spirit soul, will be happy, satisfied. Yeah. So, I only discovered this other verse actually after many years. You know, it takes us many years, right, to discover so many things about Krishna consciousness. And of course, that's a wonderful thing because there's always something new. There's always new things to discover. Otherwise, we would probably give up Krishna consciousness. You know, it's like material activities have a beginning and an end. Krishna consciousness doesn't have any end. And actually, spirit soul also is eternal. So the second verse is spoken by Narada Muni. And kindly follow attentively because many of us, as we practice Krishna consciousness and attend Bhagavatam classes, we naturally, whether we like it or not, we pick up on certain words, you know, certain words which are explaining different aspects of the philosophy. So this verse is spoken actually in the 11th canto, I mean the 11th chapter of this 7th canto. And it begins with the word dharma. And again, dharma is meant to be the constant, well, the verse is going to explain that a little bit, the constant meditation and remembrance, actually, for those who are serious practitioners of self-realization. The verse goes like this, dharma mulam hi bhagavan. Dharma mulam hi bhagavan. Mulam means the essence. Dharma mulam hi bhagavan sarva veda mayo harihi. It's actually verse number 7. 7, 11, 7. Smritam cha tadvidam rajan yena chatma prasidati. Smritam cha. Tadvidam Rajan. Now the Muni is explaining that those who are serious practitioners of spiritual life, they will be making this constant endeavor to deepen their understanding of Dharma. Yeah. And then Yena Chatma Prasidati, the same as in the first canto, by doing so, everything in relation with the body, the mind, our social condition, and also spirit soul will become satisfied and happy. In that purport, and in purports both before and after, Srila Prabhupada explains how our proper understanding of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness must be demonstrated by how we live it. And of course, in this respect, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains how until and unless we become completely freed from the gunas, which is, you know, connected with this verse here, that as long as we are not self-realized and therefore are attracted to the opposite sex, are controlled by the gunas in different ways, by the senses, until we attain that level of self-realization, we should be extremely cautious and we should apply. We should understand, first of all. We cannot properly apply until we first understand the principles of Dharma on these two levels, on the level of the soul, which is the science of bhakti, and on the science of Varnashrama Dharma, both of which are actually categorized and described by Srila Prabhupada as Sanatana Dharma. This is a very important point, actually. We know and we can accept more easily how, yes, bhakti, as Lord Chaitanya has nicely demonstrated and explained, bhakti is the eternal nature and constitutional position of the soul, isn't it? Jivair Swarupoi Krishna Nitya Das. We are the eternal Das as spirit souls. Simultaneously, so this understanding of the spirit soul is generally more easily accepted, at least theoretically. Not in practice, it is not so easy. Not so easy to always externally engage in activities on the soul level, on the level of the soul. Therefore, because we are here in the material world, Krishna has devised a system and a plan, and that is also Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma, therefore, means two things. Means the activities, the natural, eternal activities of the spirit soul, which is a complete science in itself. And then on the material level, and this is where is actually we're challenged on these two levels. Both of these levels are extremely challenging for all of us because we are out of the spiritual world right now, isn't it? Of course, when we come to a temple like here, we immerse ourselves in the spiritual world, and therefore we need more temples around the world to facilitate that we enter in that mood and that we engage in activities. But we cannot, isn't it? Bhagavatam class is only for half an hour or 1 hour, and then all of us will be out the door in a few minutes. So it means that most of us, unless you're full-time pujari and always residing in the temple, most of us have to do so many different things out there in the material world. Okay, we're not in the material world here in the temple, but outside the temple premises, you know, the whole material energy is attracting and alluring living entities in so many ways. So Krishna has planned, you know, in his eternal wisdom, the science and the whole process of bhakti devotional service is unlimited. It is something that never ends, and therefore it is all attractive, as Krishna is all attractive as well. But Krishna, in his wisdom, has established a system, a material system also. He's not only set up a spiritual system, but Krishna has established a material system whereby, by taking certain roles and accepting certain responsibilities, all very scientifically arranged, then we will be able to function even in this material world, and we will be able to nicely, more easily, more quickly develop our higher consciousness, means our spiritual consciousness. We will be able to work more easily towards the level of self-realization. And that's why these varnas and these ashramas are there, and that's why Narada Muni is going into detail, actually, in these chapters, describing the duties and responsibilities. And, of course, we know the principle of, you know, desha, kala, patra, time, place, and circumstance, which is, of course, one has to become very expert. Srila Prabhupada was such an expert in adjusting things in various ways by coming in America, in North America. He had to adjust different things, but he did not compromise, I would say, and this is an important principle, he did not compromise on the basic principles of Krishna consciousness. You know, Prabhupada did not deviate from the four basic pillars of dharma. Satyam, daya, tapas, socham. These are the four pillars of dharma. Whether you're in India or in America, it's the same thing. You know? And therefore, we have this challenge as devotees. We have this challenge as as a society. How to adjust, especially I would say on the material level, and this is of course a big topic which is addressed or spoken about, referred to in so many places. So it means in terms of the material manifestation of dharma, this material manifestation of dharma, which we call varnasrama, is meant, actually that's explained, I believe, in the purport of this second verse I quoted. It means that how we live, how we interact amongst ourselves, how we take up different occupations, our professions in society, and Prabhupada speaks a lot actually in these chapters about the need for householders to take up simple professions. Professions which will help them to maintain their Krishna consciousness. So it means the science, that's actually, people take up professions generally because, especially householders, because of economic need, isn't it? But there's a whole science in terms of economy. You know, our shastra, this you find especially in maybe less known by many devotees, the Kautilya Arthashastra. In the beginning of this is given by Chanakya Pandit. He outlines the four basic sciences, which are which comprise, you know, the whole of what is called society. Society will function properly when we know these four sciences, and they're intimately connected, of course, with both of these levels of dharma. Because the first one, the first of the sciences is the science of philosophy. And of course, the highest philosophy is that of bhakti, or devotion, isn't it? The second science is actually the science of, as described as the science of Vedic knowledge, you see. Vedic knowledge, which is especially meant to be deeply studied and understood by those who are brahmanas, Pandit, that this verse Prabhupada is referring to here, Vidya Vinaya Sampane. Pandita Samadarshinaha. Unless we become actually realized, self-realized, then we will be able to see that the spirit soul, the presence of the spirit soul in every living entity. The third science that is described actually in the Arthashastra is referring to the leaders of society. It is called the science of politics. Now, we generally don't think about politics very much. And we are told all the time, hey, don't bring in politics in the temple. But actually, the whole science on politics is there in our Shastra. And Krishna was the greatest politician. So politics per se in itself is not bad. When we misuse politics, just like a knife is not bad, but when we misuse that knife and instead of cutting an apple, cut somebody's throat, then it is not good. But as such, the knife is okay, you know. So the science of politics is a very important science, actually. and the whole book actually is dealing with the science of what we call the science of governance. And the fourth of the sciences is also especially important for householders. And not only householders, but for our leaders, because, you know, the science of politics is intimately connected with the science of economics as well. Practically speaking, you can't have one without the other, you know. So the science of economics, I was very pleasantly surprised, actually, when I read how the science of economics, and Prabhupada elaborates, actually, in these purports, you'll see right away, and you'll understand right away, and I'll finish on this point, actually, because I want to finish in time, and maybe leave a few minutes. The science of economics is described in three words. Simple for all of us in Kali Yuga here to remember, you know. Three words describe the science of economics in our Vedic culture, Vedic lifestyle. The science of economics is based on Krishi Goraksha Vanijam. Agriculture, protection of cows, and trade based on agriculture and protection of cows. Not the kind of trade or business that we have in present-day society, which is actually a major deviation of the actual economics. So the science of dharma is a science in itself. It has these two levels, these two understandings, and a very, very crucial, very critical, and very urgent as well for us as a society, for us individually to understand the depth of these two levels of the science of dharma, because the more we understand, the more we can see how so many, we already know that so many things are not right in the material world, but we can begin to understand how to actually correct it, how to bring about changes which will set things properly. I will end here, actually, and welcome any comments or questions. His hand was up first. We'll come back. Yes, Prabhuji. And you have the mic. It's coming. It's not coming. If we had the mic ahead of time, then we'd save a little time here.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, thank you for a very interesting, informative class. I learned about a lot of things I never even knew or found at all. So my question is this, that what if we observe a devotee doesn't seem to be being particularly careful about this principle of, avoiding the association of women?
You've noticed that?
Yeah. Okay. You know, you just a hypothetical situation. Okay. But you also... You also observe that this devotee is doesn't seem to be falling down. So should we just take it that that person is completely self-realized?
No. Is the short answer. Srila Prabhupada, as we know, one time he was telling the devotees, I think he was walking somewhere, and he was explaining that, do you know why people give me so much respect? And then he went on to explain that because I have no attraction for sex life. You know? So Prabhupada could self-realized soul just sees everyone as a spirit soul. But even if someone is a self-realized soul, you know, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati was a self-realized soul, then I was just peeking a little bit in the book written by Bhakti Bikash Maharaj, which goes into all kinds of details and anecdotes about the life. So one time his sister, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati's sister, you know, visited the mutt where he was, and the devotees just allowed her to go in and see her brother, you know. But after she left, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakur chastised it. Why did you allow my sister to come in alone? You know, as it mentions here in the purport. So to give an example, even somebody who might be realized should be extremely cautious in one's association with the opposite sex. So at what level a person is in, where one is situated is not so easily, not often so easily understood. But I would caution about concluding that because somebody is openly associating with women that he's self-realized. And, you know, the dangers are always there, and one should show by example as well. Here. And then, yeah. Here. His hand was up. Sorry.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for a nice class. In the Varnashram system, if in the beginning stages someone is following being a brahmachari and then a householder, but in the later stages they're not so inclined to become renounced or take sannyas, does that put them into the category of outcast?
If someone after practicing is inclined to...
Let's say that they're following the stages, but then later on they don't want to make to be involved in the later stages.
Like vanaprastha or sannyas, yeah.
Yes, Maharaj.
And the question is?
Does that put
are
them
the outcast?
Yes.
Okay. No, outcast is someone who's out of the Varnashrama system. And not in the Varnashrama system, not everyone, you know, properly explained, first is Varna, then is Ashram. First is Varna, then Ashram. If you're a Brahmana, the four ashrams are open to you. If you're a Kshatriya, only three of the four are open to you. If you are Vaishya, only two of the four are open to you. And if you're Shudra, you have only one ashram, which is householder life. This is, yeah, there's a whole scientific arrangement there, right? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. I grew up in a country which was almost like 90 or 100% agriculture. I'm from Mexico.
Yes.
And I gradually started seeing how many of the farmers left to come to the United States.
Yes.
So it's not very popular, the Rishi Goraksha principle of that.
Yes.
And even now we're struggling so hard to maybe revive it, but even as devotees becomes like so difficult, maybe you can say something about it.
Yes. It is not easy to go back home, back to Godhead, isn't it? We've been working at it for so many lifetimes. Are we going to stop because it's not easy? No. So we need to understand that the Vedic culture is primarily an agrarian-based culture. And that, it is properly explained, it's only quite recent. It's only since the Industrial Revolution that we have deviated from this norm. There is a norm in society. That norm is actually based on this lifestyle, Vrindavan lifestyle, actually. Yeah. So it is not, you know, Vrindavan is not only in the spiritual world, and we have to make Vrindavan in the material world also. So even though it is difficult, the more we become ideal as devotees, the more we understand about our Shastra, and the more we understand that this was an important instruction. You know, Guru does not speak for nothing. You know, all instructions of the spiritual master are of utmost importance. And Krishna explains, isn't it, in the Bhagavad Gita, asradadhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyamam nivartanti mrityu samsara vartmani. That we need to increase our faith and our conviction in all of the instructions given by Srila Prabhupada. And we can't just pick and choose. we may be attracted to certain activities more so than others, but we should understand, at least theoretically, principally, that all of the instructions of the founder, Charya, of our society are of paramount importance, especially, I would say, the one in relation to establishing or reestablishing the principles of Varnashrama Dharma. And that's a tremendous challenge because end up having many discussions with devotees on this, but we should know, isn't it? That's a basic principle in Krishna consciousness. Fulfilling the desires of our spiritual master, So fulfilling the desires of the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is what will make our lives perfect. And because it is coming from an Acharya like Srila Prabhupada, therefore our conviction, our faith should be that it is possible, even though materially speaking or according to our limited intelligence, how, we may not know how, but we should know that it is possible and it has to happen. It will happen. It will happen. Jai Grantharaj Mad Bhagavatam ki. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Nitai Gaura Pimanandi.
Hare Krishna.